From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of May, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll take our weekly look at the agricultural energy markets. Mike Barwinski of Louis Dreyfus will be here from his Kansas City office. Get an update on crop conditions and progress from the five top corn-producing states in the nation. The statisticians from Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana, that's the top five in order, will be here to update planting progress in their regions. And we'll close out our program with a look at the agricultural weather. Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather will be on hand on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit finished higher. Nearby July contract at 720 and a quarter, rather at 807 and a quarter, up 23 cents. That's actually the September. And the July at 764, up 27 and a half. December wheat at 858 and a quarter, up 17 and a half. July corn was the one at $7.20 and a quarter cents. It finished 22 and three quarters higher. September at 692 and three quarters, up 21 and a quarter. In December, futures at 653 and a quarter, 17 and three quarter cents higher. The March futures at 663 and a half from the corn pit, up 17 and a quarter. Next year's May at $6.71, up 17 and a quarter. July soybeans, 13.41, 14 and a half cents higher. August at $13.36 and a quarter, up 13 and three quarters. November beans at $13.20 and a half cents, up 14 and a quarter. January, $13.30 and a half, up 15 and a half. July bean meal, $3.50.40, $4.70 higher. July soybean oil at $56.04, finished 13 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the August contract at $109.30, 45 cents lower. The August feeders at $129.92 and a half, down $1.30. And the September futures there at $131.12 and a half, 82 and a half lower. June lean hog futures, $93.87 and a half, up 27 and a half. And July contract at $93.02 and a half cents for 100 pounds, finished 47 and a half cents higher for the July lean hogs. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Of course, it's a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like. At this hour, June crude oil futures, $97.10 a barrel, down 27 cents. Ethanol at $2.58.4, 4.9 cents higher for the day. Natural gas at $4.18.2, 13.6 cents lower. June futures in the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.85.2, up 2.2 cents. And the gold futures on the day, down $10.60 at $1,479.80 a troy ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, just about 86 points lower at 12,462. The dollar at 75.4, down 0.06. The CRB index at 336.48 is down 0.3 for the day. The weather forecast says this afternoon we'll have a few scattered sprinkles, mostly cloudy skies. A high near 61, north-northeast winds at about 15 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 22 tonight. Should see mostly cloudy skies. A low of 45, north-northwest winds at 8 to 11 miles an hour. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy again. A high near 64 degrees. North-northeast winds at 8 to 10 miles an hour. By the time we get to Wednesday night, mostly cloudy. A low of 50, north-northeast winds at 5 to 8. Thursday, partly sunny skies. A high of 72 degrees. Northeast winds around 5 miles an hour. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 55. Friday night, mostly sunny, a high near 75. And Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 60 degrees. By the time Saturday and the weekend rolls around, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, the high near 78 degrees on Saturday. Saturday night, showers will continue, a few thunderstorms too, mostly cloudy, 63 degrees for the low. And Sunday, a high of 80 degrees and partly sunny. Chance of showers and thunderstorms will continue Sunday. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 63. More on the weather forecast when we talk with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather at the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Hi, Wayne. How are you today? Marketplace is moving higher on this afternoon, and that, I would think, ought to make many farmers very, very happy. What do you see at this point?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, we started off with a nice bang and a lot of follow through, even a little more than what was expected on the open with the outside markets being down, Todd, and seemed to fail early and sort of a depressing little attitude there. Looked like we were getting some more fund liquidation. And then we saw a little pop from commercial buying, and we went back above the 50-day moving average, hit some stops in the corn, and closed quite strong on the day.
So it was the 50-day that they popped off of, and you think that's where they started from?
Well, I think that basically the July corn, you know, we saw stops at 713 and then a close above 718, I think, continued to keep us strong going into the close. There was also talk about the drier forecast for Russia, and we all remember what started out last year with the Russian wheat situation, and when they pulled out of the world market, what a difference that made as far as starting off this whole rally that began way back then with the Russian wheat situation.
Now turn your attention to the eastern Corn Belt, east of Crawfordsville, where you are, and what you're hearing from producers in that area. Have they turned really many wheels there?
You know, we're very lucky right here in Montgomery County, but we go over halfway to Indianapolis from here, which is only a 45-mile drive, and we know a lot of farmers that haven't got anything planted in that area, or if they have, they've just got started from there eastward. And, of course, the eastern part of the state today receiving that rain that come all across Ohio, and they're not moving today yet. So it's a real sad situation or a rough situation on those guys having to sit back and just wait, and we hear that the planning progress is moving ahead, you know, as good as it has over the last couple of weeks.
I would think in their situation it would be nearly terrifying at this point to be on the 17th of day of May and not have an acre of corn in the ground.
You know, like I say, I'm sure that it's very troublesome. We're looking at the idea, you know, and the bad part is we are not looking at any wide open period for those guys to get a lot of progress done in the next week either.
What should producers who have managed to get something in the ground do today, if anything, about the marketplace?
Well, most of them, you know, have a certain percentage sold, and as long as our unfortunate neighbors to the east aren't getting much planted, they're not being very aggressive at selling much more, Todd, here. So, you know, that's the thing. The basis levels are tightening, and we're finding the commercials finding themselves in a hard situation as accumulating cash corn at this point in time, and that's the strong thing beneath the market as we speak.
And they were buyers, I assume, in the nearby contract of corn. Were they also buyers right on out through December, March, and May of next year, too?
You know, I can't say for sure what the commercials have with the new electronic trade. It's much harder to monitor what's going on and who's doing it, but we would like to, you know, we know that they were buying in the nearby. We also heard of some SEPD spreading going on by some, thinking there would be a shortage of corn because of the lateness of planting in the south and not having that August harvest really to punch into things.
Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go for the day?
Well, we'll hope for a little drier weather.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now, the Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Please visit us online at willag.org. There you'll find everything from our pre-opening market report to the Closing Market Report daily and Commodity Week, all for you to listen to in their entirety, not long after they're recorded or aired from the studio. The address, again, is willag.org. One note from the news before we get to the state statisticians today. University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager is urging producers to read herbicide labels and delay most post-herbicide applications to corn until the air temperatures rebound later in the week. Why? Well, because some post-emergent applications made while corn is stressed can cause serious crop injury. Crop injury that looks, well, just about like you've oversprayed or used too high a rate of that herbicide simply because the crop under these cool, wet conditions cannot properly metabolize the herbicide. So make sure you read the label. Up next, we'll hear from the state statistician. Nationwide, they report that 63% of the corn crop has now been planted. That compares to 87% last year and 75% on the rolling five-year average. 21% of the crop is up and growing and out of the ground, compared to 53% last year and 39% over the last 5 years. Acres of planted beans now stands at 22% nationwide, compared to 37% last year and 31% on the five-year rolling average.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 15, 2011. Strong winds early in the week brought record-high temperatures to much of Iowa, but that was quickly followed by below-average temperatures the latter part of the week. When the weather was dry, planting progressed rapidly. However, precipitation brought progress to a halt in most areas after midweek. Although heavy rains and hail were received over parts of the state, the precipitation and warm early week temperatures promoted crop emergence. There were 4.2 days suitable for fieldwork statewide during the past week. Southeast Iowa led the way with 5 days suitable, while Southwest Iowa had only 3 days suitable. 92% of Iowa's corn acreage has been planted, behind last year's 96%, but ahead of the five-year average of 84%, with West Central, Central, and East Central Iowa having 95% or more of their corn in the ground. Due to the slow planting pace early in the season, corn emergence at 33% lagged behind last year's 63% and the average of 42%. Soybean planting surged to 47% complete, behind last year's 52%, but ahead of the normal pace of 38%. With farmers in West Central, Central, East Central, and Southeast districts having over half of their soybean acreage planted. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions. Warm temperatures averaging 5 degrees above normal, accompanied with near-normal rainfall, was the story for the 7-day period ending May 15th. Brisk winds accompanied with unseasonably warm temperatures early in the week evaporated the moisture from the soils, allowing corn planting to make excellent progress, especially in the northern third of the state. However, Mother Nature brought fieldwork activities to a halt Saturday and Sunday as most of the state was blanketed by rainfall. The two southern crop reporting districts are still the wettest in the state, with 74% reported in the surplus category. Corn planting made excellent progress last week, advancing by 35 percentage points to 69% complete. This compares to 96% planted last year and now only 5 percentage points behind the five-year average of 74%. 24% of the crop was reported emerged, compared to 76% last year and 50% for the five-year average. Leading the state in the corn emergence category was the Western Crop Reporting District, where 49% has come up. Soybean planting made good progress at 16% complete, compared to 41% planted on the state last year and 28% for the five-year average. 1% of the crop was reported emerged, compared to 11% 1 year ago and 6% for the five-year average. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 60% headed, compared to 58% 1 year ago and 61% for the five-year average. Overall, the wheat crop was rated in fair to good condition. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the crop weather report for the week ending May 15, 2011. Record high temperatures early in the week were followed by unseasonably cool and wet conditions, which caused spring planting progress to slow. Corn planting advanced to 84% complete, which is near average. Corn emerged was 21%. Soybean planting at 40% is ahead of average, while sorghum planting at 17% is near average. The first fields of both crops have started to emerge. Wheat joining was at 71%, with a few wheat fields showing heads. Wheat conditions rate at 2% very poor, 15 poor, 36 fair, 42 good, and 5% excellent, which is below last year's 72% good to excellent. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Emily Jervy from the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with a weekly crop weather report for the week ending May 15, 2011. Planting progress was made this past week in spite of frequent rain showers. As of May 15th, spring wheat advanced 21 percentage points to 39% planted. Corn advanced 19 points to 47% planted. Planting conditions remained variable. Statewide, 3 days were rated suitable for field work. I'm Emily Jervy with the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending Sunday, May 15th. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 11 one-hundredths of an inch to 3.14 inches, leaving 3.8 days suitable for field work during the week. Farmers accomplished a great deal this week, working late into the night with more days suitable for field work than any other week this spring. However, some eastern and southern counties have remained too wet for much field work to be done thus far. Planting of corn is approximately 25 days later than last year and 15 days behind the 5-year average pace, while planting with soybeans is about 23 days later than last year and 15 days behind the 5-year average. 29% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, compared with 85% last year and 66% for the 5-year average. By area, 41% of the corn has been planted in the north, 26% in the central region, and 10% in the south. 4% of the corn acreage has emerged, compared with 67% last year and 37% for the 5-year average. Only 6% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted, compared with 44% last year and 30% for the 5-year average. 58% of the winter wheat acreage is rated to be in good to excellent condition, compared with 70% last year at this time. 25% of the wheat acreage is headed, compared with 45% last year. Livestock remain in mostly good condition. Pastures and hay crops have experienced good growth with the recent warmer temperatures. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Time now to take a look at the agricultural energy markets from Louis Dreyfus in Kansas City. Mike Barwinski is on the phone line with us. He's a senior trader there. Thank you, Mike, for taking the time with us this afternoon. Tell me about the marketplace as you see it when you look at the agricultural energies related to ethanol and the production of that biofuel.
Things have improved quite substantially, at least in the margin category since we talked last. There's been a good deal of producer hedging through the end of August, although once you go beyond August, there's still a big question mark as far as new crop corn goes, what's going to be available, and what kind of basis levels these plants are actually going to be able to hedge. That being said, the margins are not nearly as good in September just because of that large question mark. As far as going through the summer goes, margins are pretty good, and we shouldn't see any real slowdown in plant productions through then.
If you look, and I don't know whether, does Louis Dreyfus have, I know you have a biodiesel plant in Indiana. Do you have a biofuels plant of any type in the Eastern Corn Belt?
No, just the biodiesel plant, and then we have our two ethanol plants, but they're in Iowa and Nebraska.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry so much about not being able to get to grain fairly quickly.
Exactly. Right? There's obviously a huge concern there. Theoretical, because nothing's happened yet. The crop's still not in the ground, but there's definitely concern from the eastern plants how they're going to be able to cover the corn that they need.
How do you view the slackening demand in the United States for gasoline as it relates to ethanol production?
It has definitely had its effect on ethanol. Just the drop in gasoline demand, we sort of, it's a bit confusing, most because, you know, the economy has recovered quite substantially since 2008. And while gasoline demand is up, it's not up nearly as high as we had expected before the, you know, the recession of 08. You know, we're thinking a lot of people switched over to more fuel-efficient cars, and then, you know, just the return to $4 gasoline in most pumps has really put people off from traveling beyond what they absolutely need to.
And then take a look around the planet. Tell me what the rest of the folks in your offices are telling you about crops in the northern hemisphere, for wheat in particular.
For wheat, they're more positive, I think, than what's heard out on the street. You know, they've been crop touring out in, you know, in the Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas area, and they're definitely more positive than the stories that we've been seeing from the other crop tours.
Anything else that we ought to discuss before I let you go for the day?
No, not much. I would just end on that. You know, through August, I'd say ethanol plants are going to do pretty well. Once we get past that point, it's really going to be a big question mark for not just for your Midwestern plants, but for your Eastern plants as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Mike Barwinski. He's a senior trader with Louis Dreyfus, located in their Kansas City offices. In just a couple of minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather, and he'll bring us what the weather forecast looks like for those eastern Corn Belt regions. There is a system backing into them today, and then once that goes out to the west, Mike will tell us, I'm quite certain, that there will be a series of thunderstorms and rainstorms that will come back in from the west across those eastern Corn Belt regions and even here in the eastern part of Illinois. All that coming up in just 2 minutes right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It's National Cherry Cobbler Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1733, England passed the Molasses Act, putting high tariffs on rum and molasses imported to the colonies from any place other than Britain and its possessions. In 1803, John Hawkins and Richard French patented a reaping machine. In 1886, John Deere died, an American inventor and manufacturer. He developed the first steel plow in the 1830s and founded John Deere and Company in 1868. As a blacksmith in a U.S. prairie town, he frequently repaired the wood and cast iron plows of eastern U.S. design because the local soils were heavy and sticky. By 1838, he had produced steel plows of his own design. Deere realized that a plow with a highly polished surface could clean or scour itself as it moved through the field. In 1848, John Deere moved his operation to Moline, Illinois, to lower his costs by taking advantage of better transportation and water power provided by the Mississippi River. Within a few years, production had reached 1,600 plows a year, and Deere was getting his own special steel rolled to his specifications from mills in Pittsburgh. In 1897, Alvin Stackman was born, an American plant pathologist and educator. He established methods for identifying and combating diseases of wheat and other food crops. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is out of the office, but Mike Tenora of TStormWeather.com is with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Mike, thanks so much for filling in. Let's start with the Eastern Corn Belt. They're really concerned now that they need to get into the field soon. Will that happen?
Well, unfortunately, it looks pretty unlikely for the state of Ohio. One problem we have beyond being way behind in both corn and soybean planting in the state of Ohio is that it's raining right now. So The wet pattern is still in progress. Rain is actually moving from east to west. And as most people know, weather usually moves from west to east. But we have this big system that's kind of stuck over the east coast, and it's sending rain backwards and across Ohio, now moving into eastern Indiana. So that situation is not improving, especially today and tomorrow, because rain continues on and off over the next 36 hours. The other problem we have for the eastern Corn Belt is that there's more rain coming up later in the weekend and more so early next week. The timing of the next rain event is a bit difficult to assess for the eastern Corn Belt. But at this point, you just have to think that things are not improving and not going to improve, certainly over the next 5 days and possibly longer if these rain events start lining up for late in the weekend and next week, the way it looks right now.
If that is a big low pressure system, and I have seen it, and it is backing into Ohio and Indiana, it sounds to me as if it might not only stay there for a while, but that it would be dropping a great deal of precipitation. Are those two correct assumptions?
Yeah, I would agree with that. The only issue to keep in mind is that the heaviest rain occurs across the eastern half of Ohio, where the production regions are a little bit less concentrated. So while the state of Ohio will see heavy rain in the eastern half, rain tends to dissipate a bit as it moves further to the west and then into Indiana. So, but keep in mind that not only do we have that situation happening, some of those showers could work their way all the way into eastern Illinois. So no heavy rain for the state of Illinois over the next several days, but we would not be at all surprised to see a few sprinkles, especially along and east of I-57.
And then if you look at the nation as a whole, if I remember the map correctly, it's sort of that low-pressure system stuck there, a couple of highs in the middle and then another low. You started to allude to the fact that we might have more rain showers coming through. Do you think that'll be the case?
Well, it certainly will be for the western half of the Corn Belt. For areas to the west of the Mississippi River, a major rain event is coming up for this weekend and into early next week. And at this point, it looks like the heaviest totals will actually focus on Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and into parts of northern Nebraska. This is a big problem for the spring wheat crop because at the national level, spring wheat planting is more than 30 percentage points behind normal as of Monday, and it rained a little bit over the last 12 to 24 hours in Montana. Big rain event coming up. We're expecting field flooding to become potentially widespread across the Dakotas and Montana. But the good news, at least with that system, is that it brings quite a bit of rain to the state of Iowa and into Missouri. And while everyone's been talking about rain, it's actually been drying out a little bit in the western Corn Belt, and that's why corn and soybean planting is advancing so nicely. Just off to the west of Illinois and even including parts of western Illinois.
Mike, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.